Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Wednesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. Syracuse ends their losing streak with a 77-61 win over Pitt. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you in fan feedback and a rematch with Florida State as they return to the Dome for revenge this Saturday at 3 o'clock. We'll be on ESPN if you are out of town or don't plan on going to the Dome for all of you. A little bit of football news and a change to the format a little bit. We're going to mix the montage with fan feedback. So normally we would do fan feedback on the Green Room app. We're going to do the preview for Florida State on the Green Room app. We're going to play with it, see if it works, and go from there. Football news, real quick. Sean Tucker is going to run track. I don't have anything in front of me, Joe. Joe just threw this at me before we came on. Pretty amazing. pretty amazing, and not surprising in the least. And I think that's awesome. It's really cool. So,
yeah. Well, today, I mean,
he's going to make track great again, Sean Tucker.
Makes track great again. Well, I mean, so he's doing the short sprint, 60-meter dash, right? That's kind of his race that he's going to be doing here. I guess Friday night is his first preliminary race, so to speak. And it's just, to me, it says a lot because realistically, you wouldn't think that somebody like it. It's positive because he's healthy,
right? No days off. Constantly right. Conditioning.
Well, because I mean, there's a lot of players, football players, especially that at the end of the season, like they need a little bit of time to
recoup.
Get through some stuff, and even some people play through injuries that need surgeries in the offseason, right? So,
right.
Just to see the load that he carried over the last 2 years and over this past year, and to see him being healthy enough to just turn around and okay, I'm going to do track, right? So good because we know he's healthy, and also good because this really can only help with his speed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, you know, he's not hampering any injuries. He didn't work through much, if anything, during the football season. Tough as an ox, and going to keep him conditioned for football season. And I mean, how cool is that?
Down with it.
Right. And so all eyes will be on track. And I'm sure, and I'm not joking when I say make track great again, Sean Tucker, because it will. You know, now all eyes will be on track.
I mean, Syracuse's track team actually has been pretty good, especially.
Absolutely. But let's be, yes.
How many? I mean, they had some Olympians and stuff. So.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, you know, let's be honest. You got
could
Sean
help get
Tucker.
Some more eyes
it could definitely
there, right?
help people that don't like. I'm gonna be honest. There's a couple of things I haven't watched Syracuse play. One of them's track. Okay, just not my thing. Would I watch Sean Tucker run track? Yes, I would.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Dan Villari. Villari is a New York kid, graduated from Plain Edge High School in Massapequa. He played in four games during his two seasons with Michigan, completing one pass on three attempts for 26 yards. He was a three-star recruit out of high school and the number 14 player in his class from New York via 247. He also was a first-team All-State and All-Long Island selection during his high school days, according to Noon's magician, Christian DeGuzman, reporting. And, you know, Syracuse picks up a transfer quarterback, Michigan transfer quarterback. Now, Joe, in realistic terms, and just to maybe hype something up or just squash it right out of the gate, are we going to have another quarterback controversy 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, rather, just about? Or what? I mean, look, he's got an arm, as at Oil Cuse brought to my attention via Twitter, I believe it was yesterday. Hell of an arm. And at Oil Cuse, our buddy Captain Patrick, he would like to hear what you have to say, Joe, even though he doesn't respect your opinion, but he has to hear it.
That's funny. So to me, I mean, just the fact that he got a scholarship to Michigan, I mean, it showed him something. Obviously, you know, three-star from Long Island. I do not know if we even tried to get this guy.
I haven't seen that anywhere.
Yeah, so, but I'm assuming that, you know, so he's got 4 years of eligibility left after taking a redshirt in 2021, right? So that's realistically the way you look at it is he's probably the best quarterback option that we can get realistically between the transfer portal and between the recruits that are left at this point in the recruiting class. I haven't seen enough of him to say, talk about his arm or talk about anything, but you can look at some of the articles. Like one article from Syracuse.com talked about how he, Eric Dungy was a little bit of his role model, and he kind of, you know, played like him a little bit, so to speak. And, he's a physical guy. You know how John Harbaugh, tough coach. You know, he's a gritty guy, and he's not going to take somebody three-star like that out of New York unless he thinks that there's something there. And I trust that part of it. And now he's, you know, deep in the depth chart, and he sees a situation where he can probably move closer to home. And realistically, he played special teams, to kind of tell you, give him a little bit of a, you know, his toughness, you know, and I'm sure it wasn't just holding, you know, for the kicker. You know, he was out there blocking, trying to make tackles and stuff on special teams to tell you what kind of player he is. So with the new offensive coordinator and the new quarterback coach we have, and a guy like this who, you know, can run, he's a physical guy, and if he has the arm that old boy says he does, then maybe this is somebody that, you know, Jason Beck can turn into, you know, a player down the road. I don't think this is a guy that's going to come in and, you know, challenge Garrett Schrader. I think Garrett Schrader is going to be the starter going into next year. And I think that's going to be the focus with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach. But with four seasons of eligibility left, I definitely see a situation where this guy could help us down in the future. I'm not going to get so excited to the point where, you know, he's going to take over for Garrett, but...
Well, it adds needed depth. I mean...
It absolutely adds needed depth, and, you know, it's not far-fetched to think that maybe he doesn't end up being the backup.
Maybe... Right. That's what I was going to say. Maybe he becomes the number two, right?
Right.
That's, yes. That's fair, right?
And I think that he knows the situation he's coming into, right?
He absolutely does. But hold on real quick. But he does. And maybe that's what is enticing him a little bit more. Maybe he thinks, hey, look, I've watched Garrett Schrader, no offense, but maybe I could do better. He knows where we struggled. Like, obviously everybody does, right?
Yeah, and you know how Coach Babers plays it. You know, he's going to play the best. If you come in and you compete and you're better than the other guy, then he's going to give you that time.
Did he play? Look, there was a loyalty issue last season, let's be honest. That's what I believe. Should have, would have, could have pulled the trigger on that earlier. Could have changed things.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. With that said, anything else, Joe, on that? Because I know you'll go forever. I don't want to open the door almost.
Okay. Like I said, I just don't think.
Oh, jeez. He said no. And then he starts going again. See, this is where I screwed up.
I'm just saying I don't think it's a situation where he's going to challenge for the starting spot. Okay, but right. I definitely think it's, like you said, much added depth. And he could definitely fill a spot where he comes in and takes over for at least being able to be a viable backup just in case Gary gets hurt.
And there is Instagram video I retweeted if you want to go there and check out the short video he put together. With him throwing the ball, the one that Captain Patrick alerted me to yesterday, which was actually kept. So I'm not on Twitter much. I'm not on anything much, and I don't check a lot of stuff until the day of the podcast. Like, that's just how I am right now. Football season, a little bit different. The basketball season's kind of like, because football season's so much bam, 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 bam all the time. So when it calms down, I calm down a little bit. So actually, Captain Patrick's the one that alerted me to it yesterday. I had no idea until he brought it to my attention, and I was like, what's going on here? So then I figured it out. But anyway, all right, let's take a listen and hear what Coach had to say after the win last night in the Dome.
First half's a good example of why we're losing games. You know, our defense is awful, and if Buddy just didn't make some really long threes, we would have been down 10 or 12 points at halftime. We really should have been down 10 or 12 points at halftime. Jesse was not in it defensively, and we just weren't covering shooters. We weren't really doing much inside, and it's why we've struggled this year. The second half was a completely huge turnaround. Our defense was just by far the best it's been all year, movement-wise, coverage-wise. We did a good job on Hughley. He's had a couple monster games lately. But our defense was the difference. And you know, offensively, we got some good situations. Jimmy got some good post situations. And our ball movement was better than it's been. And, it was a good, solid half, second half of basketball in terms of our offense. But our offense has been pretty solid. Our defense is, it just hasn't been good enough. And, they made shots, but you cannot, they may not be a good shooting team, but you give people shots, open shots, they're going to make them. If you contest them a little bit, then they're going to miss. And so hopefully we'll learn from this and be a better defensive team the next time out. He's been really good in practice. He's given us energy in practice. He's been the best forward in practice off the bench. And I wanted Benny to have a try in the beginning, and he's struggling. And John has had really good practices. He moves without the ball, set screens, and I thought he was good in there. I thought Frank was good in there. I thought Cy was good. But again, I think we're getting better. There's a long way to go. I told the players before the game tonight, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or what anybody says or what the record is, we're just going to play this game and we're going to get ready now and play Florida State and try to get better. And every game's going to be tough. Simple as that. But again, the second half was the best that we've really played all year by quite a lot. Our offense has been good all year. Our defense was good. That was the difference in the end of the half and the start of the second half. And for the second half, we really played the most consistent. You know, the kid came in off the bench and made two really hard threes, or we wouldn't have given up any threes in the second half. So, again, it was our defense was better, and that's something we have to keep getting better going forward.
Yeah, I think for us to be our best team, Coach always says I have to be aggressive. He's said that to me, he said that in the media. I think that's a big point of emphasis for all of us. And I think it's just trying to find the balance of when I can attack, when I have little guys on me, when I have bigger guys on me who I can go by, and reading that situation and making those adjustments in the game. So I think it's just as the season goes on, obviously the attention that Buddy gets is going to be important for me to step up and have big scoring nights that I think I'm capable of, and all my coaches and teammates think that as well.
All right, the coach montage is brought to you and us by the Spotify Green Room app. Go there to your iOS or Android stores. Download the app. It's free. All you need is a username, email address, and a password to sign up. go ahead and follow us at Cuse Militia on that thing and sign up for notifications when you do, when we go live here during the podcast for fan feedback or the next game preview. You can be alerted. You can sit in there and listen. You can chat or you can request to speak. Request to speak and give your prediction or give us your thoughts on the previous game. We would love to interact with you guys like that. It's a lot of fun. But you don't just have to listen to us, okay? That would be awful. There's plenty of other people to listen to, plenty of other topics to follow, and you can do your own thing. So go to the Spotify, go to your iOS or Android stores, download the Spotify Green Room app. The thing's getting huge, by the way. It really is. I'm seeing more and more stuff on there every day. So, and it's really easy to use. So go there, check it out today. It's free. Damn it, it's free. All right, Joe, let's start. Let's start at the top here, like we always do. Like Coach said, the first half is a good example of why they've been losing games. The defense is awful, were his exact words. And Jesse struggled a little bit defensively in the first half, but he also didn't have any fouls. So that's quite possibly correlated there.
Really? Thought he had one.
Did he?
I don't know.
Okay.
For some reason I did.
I thought I heard that he went through the whole first half without fouling. Okay. Let's say he had one. Might have. Still. Okay. The second half, big turnaround, obviously, but the defense at the end of the day, the story for this one. Joe T on Facebook. Defense, best defense I've seen from the Cuse in the second half of a game. That's what led to the offense effectiveness in that half as well. Free throws need to be better. Cuse hits those, and the win would have been even more. Go Cuse. That from our buddy Joe on Facebook. And top fan Dominic on Facebook. I think that stretch of the first half where Jim used his bench more than I've seen in years helped this team play better D in the second half, or Pitt is so bad, Jim thought he could get them some playing time without hurting anyone. No, I mean, it's a possibility. At Damn Twin on Twitter, glad to see Buddy shooting like that. Pitt is not a good shooting team, but Cuse still with the defense was solid. So let's see. Yeah. Joe, obviously, we could talk all day about, well, it's Pitt, right? It's Pitt, and Syracuse's defense should be true. It should be better against them is true. And I agree. But for crying out loud, I mean, we got to start somewhere, right? And it all, right. And a lot of gameplay on the court stems from just pure confidence. I mean, let's be honest, in the first half, when I mean, we were all. There is not a Syracuse fan listening to this show right now that in the first half was not just like, here we go again. Here we go again. Just playing down to competition, horrible defense, losing a lead. Syracuse ends up kind of making a charge, going up 35-34 at halftime. Not something that they've done. They're usually getting worse at halftime. And then they even came out in the second half on fire. So a complete turnaround, Joe, than what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, just another thing that's different, right? That's just comes out of the blue that just makes a difference. I mean, there's a lot of people that looked at it like you looked at the last couple games. We usually do well in the first half, and then we crumble, right?
Right.
And like this was like the complete opposite, right? So I thought it was a good call for him to bring them in. I know Coach, he said something about how John Ball on defense has been one of the better, you know, forwards in practice. So when he brought those guys in and was a little bit bigger and stuff like that, you know, I think that it just changed with the length and stuff like that, helped down low. And not only that, but sometimes you need to be able to do that to light a fire under somebody. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I'm getting these minutes. He's not going to pull me unless I'm in foul trouble, right? And sometimes, you know, you need that little kick in the butt. You know, I'm sure Jesse wasn't happy coming out. Sure, he got a little talking to, especially since it wasn't because of the foul trouble. And he put some guys in that gave some good minutes on defense, and all the while probably got Jesse a little fired up because he's sitting on the bench. And, you know, it worked both ways. You know, sometimes you do that and the players that come in don't play that well. But at the end of the day, second half defense definitely stepped up, probably the best defensive half we've had. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to be like, oh, it's just Pitt. Well, I mean, we've let everybody score. Doesn't matter. So,
yeah,
albeit I know that, I mean, this is probably the worst 3-point shooting team we've played against.
But, to be fair, their ACC games, their last four ACC games, they were shooting 36%.
And on top of that, I mean, you talk about their, well, they were 1-3 coming into this, and every single ACC game was within close. three points as well. Yeah. So, I mean, they play tough. They play good defense. You can tell they're shorthanded, and they got issues with their roster. I know they had a graphic that showed up. There's a graphic that showed up during the game yesterday, kind of explains, you know, there's an injury. Somebody else has, like, got some legal issues and stuff like that. So not necessarily the full team that Capel thought he was going to have. But nonetheless, I mean, they have the, if we look at it, like our fans look at it, like, hey, you know, they're a D1 team. They're Pittsburgh. It's up to Capel to get them ready, right? And they're an ACC team that's given all the ACC teams they've played fits. And, you know, for us to come out and beat them by 16, I don't really even know if anybody, how many teams have done that. They have 10 losses, and I don't know how many teams have beat them by 16. So you still got to go out and do it. And I know we shot 51%, but defense in the second half definitely was key. And I don't care if just Pittsburgh, this and that. Obviously, we're going to play better offenses. But you got to do it to somebody first to prove that you can actually do it. So hopefully it's a huge, huge momentum booster, especially with our guys on defense.
Yeah, buddy, Kim, I took him, 7.5 minutes, but game high, 24 points, and absolutely made the difference. And the screens were working great yesterday, which we don't always see. I mean, buddy has been having fits the past few games. And so, you know, there's something to be said about the competition a little bit, like you mentioned, Joe, with the struggles that they're having. But who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, you got to do it. Like Joe says here, the best defense I've seen from Cuse in the second half of a game this year. Absolutely. I mean, Coach said it. I mean, I think it was clear to everybody. They flipped the script, and it was good to see. Question is, can they keep doing it? Because they got a couple more games at home, and they need them both. And this wasn't, well, I think I might have this comment in here, and I totally agree with it. Yes, and I'll save it. So, okay, John Bull gets put in, and Coach talks about him being the best forward in practice, and you know, that's what coaches are going to go off of. They're going to get these guys are going to gain playing time based on a lot of what they do in practice. Benny's struggling a little bit, and you know, how many minutes did Benny get? 4. You know, you can make a case for maybe he gets some, should get some more minutes maybe in the second half there. But at K Nabiwaniak on Twitter, love the minutes Samir gave us tonight. Jesse was terrific and fouled out just to make a few Dome fans laugh. And Buddy, that's good. And Buddy was on fire. Great bounce back win. Yes, exactly. And it doesn't really matter who we're playing or whatever, we had to win this game, quad four game at home. And Samir, I thought Samir was good. You know, he had a couple turnovers, but at the end of the day, he played 12 minutes, 5 points, and got to the line, steal and what, one rebound, but two, yeah, one rebound. So solid minutes. I mean, he's active out there. That's what I like. He brings the energy. He kind of up-tempos everything. And that's one little small piece that he adds that Syracuse is missing from the starting five. Jesse says, Jim was listening to you when you said try John Bull last pod. Jesse played good D on the big guy. If we could stop giving up so many threes and force people to go inside, we may not be half bad. Pitt couldn't shoot, though. Yeah, even Pitt started off pretty decent from three, and that worried me a tiny bit. And they actually didn't finish terrible. They finished around their average, 31, 7 for 22, which isn't – it's not
about
awful.
32, yeah.
It's 31.8, yeah. It's not awful, but it's about their average. Like I said, they've been shooting the average of 36 coming into this game in ACC play. So, I mean, it wasn't just us they were hitting them against, but they did struggle like wicked bad in the second half. They took them over 9 minutes to score from the floor in the second half, which is an amazingly agonizing stretch if you're a fan of a team and you're just watching the other team score, and you can't watch your team's not doing anything. Needed to win, and the next two free throws are essential. Williams looks lost. Hope he gets some time to improve. On to the next one. That is Steve from Facebook. Let's see, one more here in regards to this. Michael, top fan on Facebook. A must-not-lose game. With a decent performance on both ends of the court, was interesting to see how deep coach was willing to go into the bench without any significant minutes from Benny. While watching this game, I reflected on how bad Jesse looked 2 years ago. Kudos to him and the coaching staff for his development. On to Cincia? Oh, wait, Florida State. Benny, Tim on Facebook. Benny will transfer 4 minutes in a blowout win. I mean... I don't know. I don't know about that.
He's already came out and said he's not.
He's been very, Tim, Benny has been very, very clear that he's going to trust the process here. I don't think Benny's hitting the floor doing what he's doing and thinking that he deserves more minutes. I don't think it's a situation like that. I think he's a very humble kid. I think he's young. He knows he's young, and he knows he's got a lot to learn. He's got a Hall of Fame coach right behind him trying to get him ready, and he's patient. And that's kind of what, I mean, just because we don't see it much anymore and people transfer so fast doesn't mean there's kids out there that aren't like that still. Yep. And you know, back to Michael's point, a must not lose. It's a perfect way to put it, Michael. Mm. Not a must win, but we could not lose this freaking game. A must win this early is a little bit different. And I understand his point there, Joe, if you could decide to decipher the difference, you know what I mean? Just couldn't lose that one at home.
No, you couldn't. And that's just one of those things. I mean, I hate when it's a situation where it's like, oh, this is a must win game. We can't lose this. And then all of a sudden you turn around and you win. And then it's like, yeah, well, we beat Pittsburgh, but big deal.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's so annoying to have to deal with like that type of fan where it's like, oh, this is a must win. We have to do this. We have to do that. And then you win by 16 and it's like, wow, it was just Pittsburgh. Big deal. What did it prove? Like,
right. Well,
it's very frustrating. Can you relish in the moment for a second that we just did what we were supposed to do by probably like better than what we were, you know, people thought we were going to do it. Like,
well, KenPom predicted
we looked better.
KenPom's been pretty damn close this year, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed. With I don't pay attention to much other than Syracuse, but he predicted a 10-point win for Syracuse, and we exceeded that.
Right.
Pittsburgh hadn't lost any other ACC team more than 3 points.
And we exceeded Vegas too, right?
So, I believe so. So, I mean, let's just be happy we did it. An amazing second half. We saw some things kind of turn. Does it stay here? Yeah. Is it always going to be like that for the rest of the year? Did they just flip a switch? I mean, I doubt it.
I don't understand it.
You don't understand what? The negativity?
I just don't understand. Yes, because we've if you are a Syracuse fan, you see it
every year
in and year out. They get better as it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll get into it because we got some more here. Yeah. And doing it this way, by the way, while we do talk the montage and doing fan feedback this way, allows us to get to more comments too.
And you know what? To that comment too, Jesse Edwards. You obviously 2 years, right? And you see the improvement. You can see he's a game changer when he's out there. I mean, it's just the bottom line. He's a game changer when he's out there and when he's in the game and he's making the rotations. And you know, he's really the guy that's, I mean, you expected kind of all this other stuff from everybody else. Jesse Edwards is what you didn't expect. And I think that's what's even keeping us even right there too, like being able to talk about team, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, where was he last year? I mean, forget 2 years ago. And this was Michael's comment, but last year, it was like, what a turnaround from just last year. It's been amazing. Imagine if he could have played like this last year.
No, I mean, you just see his confidence is gaining more and more every game, every play.
Yeah. Coach says we're getting better. Got a long way to go, obviously. And he talks about telling the guys, you know, it doesn't matter what you're reading in the print and what people are saying. All that matters right now is the next game. The most important thing is the next game on the schedule, and basically we got to focus and go out and execute. All the talk about we're not going to make the tournament, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, all that is just complete speculation right now. I mean, until we're out, until we're out mathematically, in my opinion, then as long as there's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. Yes. As long as there's a chance, I have faith that things can turn around. Obviously, at some point, you lose some faith, which was all of us before this game, right?
At some point, you get to the point where you have to win the conference tournament or you're not going to make it.
Sure,
and we're not there yet.
No.
So we'll talk about that when we get there.
Brandon, we need 9 more games legitimately like this to get us in a better conversation. Mike on Facebook, stopped the bleeding. Hopefully, they can grab 2 more on this homestead and pick up some much-needed momentum. Alex on Facebook, quad 4 win, nothing special. If we don't get some solid wins on the resume, we are cooked. So, one more. Brian on Facebook, glad we didn't lose, but I'm not doing the happy dance. Lots of good things. Still concerning after that 0 fouls in the first half for Jesse. Maybe that's where I saw it. 0 fouls for the first half of Jesse. 0 fouls in the first half that Jesse fouls out without their big guy being out there most of the time. I love Jesse's progress, but I don't know if he'll be able to stay on the court this year. And without him, I think we're going to be screwed against better teams. And anybody who pressures us is a threat. Absolutely. Anybody that pressures us is a threat. Quad 4 win, nothing special, Alex. Yes, absolutely. But and he's right. You know, we need some resume builders, or, you know, we need some bigger wins before we can start talking about, you know, locked in type situations. And Mike's right. It stopped the bleeding. Obviously, 3-game skid, not good. You're at home. Got to capitalize on this. And like he mentions and we've mentioned, you got to have 2 more. And what do you think about Brandon? Need 9 more wins to be in the conversation. Let's see. 1, 2. Where are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 games left. So, I mean, it's probably pretty close. It's probably pretty close. The problem is it depends on what wins we're talking about. It always comes down to what kind of quality wins we're getting heading into March.
It's true. And you also have to understand, too, that it also comes down to, you know, strength of the bubble. And it also comes down to what your strength of schedule is and everything like that. I think people underestimate, and I think this is one of those things that one of the reasons why Syracuse has made it in some of these years where people are like, oh, how do they make it? Well, the strength of schedule is non-conference schedule. It was that we played in the ACC, and that would just make up for these kind of mid-major bubble teams and kind of push us over the edge. Or, you know, we get a couple quad 1 wins or something like that. You never really know what that outlook really looks like until you kind of get near the end of the season. And, you know, this is going to be probably our best strength of schedule in recent memories. This is one of the tougher seasons that we've had. So I think people underestimate how much strength of schedule actually makes up for wins. And I think you see it in KenPom's analytics, where I think that we're still ahead of Miami. If not, we're very, very close. And you know, they're 13-4 and beat us.
So Syracuse is 69 and Miami's 77 currently. So, yeah.
So,
and I mean, Miami pulled off a big win against Duke. Let's not forget.
They did. And they lost to Florida State last night. And, they're behind us because of their strength of schedule.
Right.
That's just what it is. They have 13 wins because of their non-conference. And we played a bunch of tough teams in our non-conference, and so we are where we are. So I think people underestimate. Everyone wants to look at, you know, 19, 20, 21 wins is like that matrix. But, I mean, we've seen teams, I want to say, 1 year a Stanford team got in with 16 or 17 wins. But their strength of schedule was high, and the bubble was weak. So
we will finish the montage and fan feedback up right after this.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
As I mentioned before, time to hear from the good folks over at the Spotify Green Room app. Go to your iOS or Android stores today. Download the app. Once you get that puppy downloaded, why don't you follow us at Q's Militia. Sign up for notifications. You can get notified whenever we go live. We always go live at least once. As long as I have internet, we'll go live at least once during the show. So you can get a portion of that show live. And you can even get in on the action. But that's not it. You can even do your own thing. You don't have to just listen to us. You want a cheap way to do your own podcast about any subject you want. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be anything you want. Download the app. Set yourself up, get a decent pair of headphones that you can plug into your phone, and sign up for your segment to be recorded and emailed to you at that email address that you sign up with, and boom. As soon as you start your segment, it starts recording. As soon as you stop your segment, it ends recording, sends that puppy to you. You can upload it to any podcast hosting platform, and there you go, man. There you go. It's the simplest, easiest, cheapest way to have a podcast on a free app, no doubt. So, go to your iOS or Android stores today. Download the app. It's free. All right, Joe. So we heard from Cole Swider. That was Cole Swider at the end of that montage talking about, look, you know, Coach had said to me and he said to the media that for Syracuse to be their best, that he's got to be more aggressive. We talked. I can't remember. I think it might have been Jesse on Facebook. I think it was, who mentioned that, you know, who is going to be that guy? And you and I were befuddled. We were like, oh, I don't know. Well, maybe it could be Cole. My computer is in battery saver mode. If you care to know what that was about, maybe it could be Cole. I see it. I see it in his face. My wife calls him Angry Stewie. So, I don't know. She gets a kick out of it.
My girlfriend says he looks like Freddie Prinze Jr.
An angry Freddie Prinze Jr. though. He's always angry. Like, take that and use it.
He's intense.
He's intense, like camping. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, he could be that guy. Maybe he's a little hesitant because he doesn't want to have the get hit with the fouls and stuff. You know, I mean, he didn't shoot very good last night at all. I think he was 0-for-4 from 3. Yep. And, you know, he ended
4-for-10 overall.
Yeah, he ended up with 10 points. Two of them came from the line. And I really like Cole. I was huge on Cole coming in. But I think he's having a hard time, at least a little bit, of finding his spot. But when you look at the starting five and even the bench players of someone who could be that aggressive person on the floor, you know, it's probably got to be him. It only makes sense. And we're still kind of waiting to see it. I mean, here we are, you know, 16 games in or wherever the hell we are. Yeah, 16 games. And I got to be honest. I haven't seen it a ton. I see it in his face. I see it, how passionate he looks. But, you know, on the floor is another thing.
Well, I mean, you look at the situation that they're in sometimes, especially in college basketball. I mean, there's a lot of teams that they play three guard sets with, you know, maybe a tall forward and another, you know, 6'8", 6'9" forward. And with our lineup, I mean, you have Buddy who plays as a tall two anyway, but, you know, a three or a small forward from another team has to guard either Jimmy or Cole. And both of them are 6'8". And so, you know, we've seen Jimmy attack the hoop and score around the hoop. And I think that they're trying to figure out a way to use Cole Swider. And what are we going to do when the mismatch goes to him? So, you know, Coach, he talked about, you know, the baseline and how he feels comfortable down there and stuff like that. And, you know, he's got to definitely be more aggressive and going to the hole. And then, I mean, he's one of the better free throw shooters on our team. So he should be trying to go to the line too. I mean, you know, you see him try to make these moves to the basket. He'll get to the lane and he'll do all these pumps and these triple, you know, move, you know, pivot foot and end up shooting a fadeaway. And it's like, you're not going to get a foul that way. So it would just be nice to see him try to, like Jimmy and some other guys, you know, as he's driving to the hoop, just finish instead of having to stop and try to figure out a jump shot. I feel like he has to jump shoot everything. And, you know, he's got a little bit of game to work on, but he can shoot and he does have mismatches from time to time. So he's definitely got to be the one to step up. And really, we saw everybody step up yesterday. I mean, Joe Girard went 0-for-3 from the 3-point line, had 8 points, 4 from the free throw line, but the two baskets that he had were tough, like drive to the lane, and he finished, right? Samir Torrance, we saw him drive to the lane, then got another good pass as he cut to the basket from Buddy. Cole Swider, he got a layup off of a backdoor pass, I believe, from Jimmy. We fed Jimmy down low when he had his mismatches. We fed Jesse because we know that he's actually an offensive weapon. Like, yesterday wasn't just a we're going to feed. I mean, out of 49 shots, only 17 of them were three-pointers. And you saw us actually – I saw an offense that was different. I saw guys moving, not just standing around waiting for somebody to make a play or a kick out. And that was really, to me, the most – it was better than – to me, it was better than our defense in the second half because – if there is one thing that Pittsburgh has, it's toughness. They're not going to give up and they're going to play tough defense. And so to see our offense play like that and show another level or another layer, so to speak, that's what gave me confidence moving forward is the fact that it's not just going to be hero ball, you know, jump shooting and everything like that. We're going to feed the guys. We're going to get mismatches and people are moving without the ball. So not just Cole Swider, but everybody. To me, yesterday was an everybody kind of came together and made that happen.
Yeah, and then, you know, less aggressive, a pretty good defense, but less aggressive. I forget where we said KenPom had him, but it wasn't anything jumping off the stat sheet to me.
See, I think they're a good defense, but I think because of their depth, they can't press.
Okay, fair enough. You have, all right, that's
they were talking about how they only had two or three scholarship guards and something like that because of the players that were injured in legal trouble. So, I mean, if you have your normal depth, I'd be willing to bet Capel would be definitely pressing us a little bit more.
He pressed late, too. I think there was
maybe
six minutes left or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the game was out of control when he started.
That's like that's a Hail Mary press. Yeah,
because he probably had a feeling, even though it's Syracuse, I mean, I just don't think we can do it. And he was right. I mean, they got him the first time a little bit, but there was a turnover on the first time pressing. Syracuse did a terrible job. And then after that, they fixed it. So that's it for the montage. I'll follow up with a couple here. Our boy Zach on Facebook, top fan, of course, finally got his badge back. I really want to see this team hit the big dance. I need to see more. I would like to see the Boeheim clan go out in style, not misery. That's one thing that, dude, I've thought about quite a bit is that, you know, you've got Jim Boeheim approaching the end of his career, coaching both of his sons. It's an absolute dream come true for a father at this level. There's no doubt. I mean, just, you know.
And mother.
Yeah, and mother, right. But, I mean, when it comes to the team, you got the coach coaching his two sons, right? Just an absolute family affair. And for it to go out the way it's looking or is looking, let's be honest, we're at 500. And it's not anything to be too excited about at this point. You know, you just hope that they can do something to change this, turn this around, and make it a successful season of this, because it will be memorable regardless, but successful would be would be amazing. It'd be amazing to the fans and to coach and everything, and you know, I just think that would be great. So that is left to be seen at this point. At Tony Staffieri on Twitter, a remarkably unimpressive double-digit win. Well, I don't know. I'm not real sure what Tony was expecting there, but I figured they would cover. But more than 10, I don't know. And then the first half, I thought, well, crap. What was I thinking? Because I was so confident coming into this game on Twitter, on Facebook, on the podcast last time. And here we are struggling. And my wife said before the game started, she said, look, this comes from someone who is not an analytical sports fan. She watches Syracuse sports with me and occasionally Raiders football and NASCAR, which she just likes to take naps, which is why she likes NASCAR. So quite honestly, just puts her to sleep. She said, I hope Syracuse has a horrible first half so that they can come out in the second half and be better. And I said, well, the way it's trending, if they have a horrible first half, they're going to have an even worse second half. But it wasn't the case. So, I mean, I don't know what you expected, Tony, but I thought it was okay. I thought it was an okay win. We all know what level of competition we're dealing with. Right? So,
yeah.
At Otto the Orange, not the real one, on Twitter, great, they beat a 6-9 team.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. Great. They beat a 6-9 team. Big deal.
Here we go.
Yeah. At SU Vidala mentions, beats the alternative. Absolutely. I mean, big deal. I mean, okay. We just lost 3 in a row ACC games, and we're back at home. We win one. Well, thank God. Breathe a sigh of relief and be happy. Damn it. All right, that is going to wrap it up for fan feedback. We appreciate all of you for participating. Go there at the end of every game and leave a tweet or post saying thoughts on the game. Go there, leave your thoughts, and we'll try to fit them in. Okay, Joe.
Sir.
The all-time series between Florida State and Syracuse sits currently at 8-5 in favor of the Orange. Coach Boeheim holds a 5-4 edge over Leonard Hamilton all-time, all of those ACC games. Last game later last year, I should say, a 63-60 win. Gerard Boeheim, Buddy Boeheim, Edwards, Swider, Jimmy Boeheim is your starting five. Swider and Gerard, 16 points. Edwards, 12 rebounds, and Swider with 10 rebounds. That was an excellent game for Cole Swider. We remember Florida State had a little bit of trouble shooting and whatnot. But KenPom's got them 52nd right now with an adjusted offense ranked 95th and an adjusted defense ranked 33rd. Since playing Syracuse, so they lost, after they lost out, they lost to South Carolina. They beat Lipscomb. They beat NC State, okay? They lost against Wake Forest. Then they beat Louisville. And like Joe mentioned, they beat Miami last night. So those are four of their ACC games, including us. So that's their ACC slate right there. They're ranked 71st in the NCAA net rankings, making this a quad two game for the Orange at home, Joe. So when you look at this game last time, there was a part of me that felt like we kind of, we did squeak away 63-60, but I felt like some luck was on our side that day with their shooting, which wasn't great. I think they were 13% from three, first of all, 44 for 30, which is terrible, and 18 for 33 from inside the arc, 54%, which was pretty good. So is this the same team? Are they improved? I mean, they have some decent wins in Miami, in my opinion, and NC State and Louisville. Those are all pretty decent wins, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. So Florida State, ever since they played us, you know, you did talk about their schedule, but they did have a little bit of a COVID break in there before the NC State game. So they had something that, you know, they dealt with that. But this team, like we know from KenPom and we know from playing them before, their defense, I mean, they came in, they tried to stop Buddy. They did. It was, you know, Buddy's probably still to this day worst game this year, and we still ended up winning. But again, that comes down to, you know, us holding them for a 30 from the 3-point line, and you know, that's really what it comes down to. This team obviously, you know, has gotten better, Florida State, and they still have really, really good defense. You know, this game was played at 63-60 last time, and I think that there's still a lot of people, when you look back, it's like, how do we win that game, right?
Right, that's what I was saying. I mean, I feel like we squeaked one away. I mean, we squeaked the game away, but we had some things go our way as well. I mean, got a little luck.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, and I watched them against Miami, you know, and they had a little bit of swag. I don't know if Miami was a, you know, it was a home game for Florida State. And I don't know if, you know, Miami had a little bit of overconfidence from just coming off of beating Duke or whatever. But, you know, Florida State still got the same old system with the same coach, and you know, the defense is going to be tough. It's going to be another, you know, I think KenPom's got them, I think, adjusted defensive rating is 33rd. And I'll guarantee they're not going to shoot as bad as they did last time. So, obviously, I mean, we know what the keys are. Again, we know, like, there's basic stats when you look at it, the turnovers and stuff like that, points off turnovers. And obviously, you can't get out-rebounded that bad. Actually, I believe we've actually out-rebounded every ACC opponent that we played this year.
By one against Pitt, by one against Florida State, and I don't have the other ones in front of me. But actually, I can get them.
And I don't even care if we lose by one or lose by two. It's better than what it was in the past when we're losing by, you know, double digits or eight or nine.
Absolutely.
So,
by
you know, we know we need to shoot free throws better. And, I mean, it's going to come down to this. I mean, is Florida State going to shoot better three-point-wise? Most likely. But is Buddy going to do better than 3 of 10 with 6 points? And then obviously there's the nuance of Jesse, where we know that he can't foul out. So, I mean, that's really where you're at right now. I mean, you're looking at how's Florida State going to shoot versus Buddy, because last game, both of them stunk. And obviously we know by the stat last night that Jesse fouled out of his first game, albeit
out of every ACC game.
Albeit he did have 11 points and 12 rebounds, two blocks, steal and an assist. But
he was the KenPom MVP of the Syracuse Florida State game last meeting.
Yeah, and he got 30 minutes in. So, I mean, those are the little things you're looking at. What is Buddy going to do against the defense that they played against? You know, you have tape, so you're going to go back and you want to see, obviously, how do you play him and how we're playing differently. And I think that's why I was excited about the way that our offense played last game, because, you know, they were cutting, they were doing different things. They weren't just standing around, and standing around, especially against a good defensive team, just makes it that much easier. So, you know, those are the keys, man. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, Florida State's going to shoot better. Is Buddy going to shoot better? Is Jesse going to stay out of foul trouble? I mean, there's certain things that happen in that game with Buddy shooting bad and Jesse being in, fouling out that, you know, I mean, that kind of evened out to make it 63-60. But again, we only won that game because they shot so badly and we forced them, you know. So I would be, I mean, if I'm Leonard Williams or Leonard Hamilton, I'm making sure that we're not shooting that many threes and that we're going to play from the inside out and we're going to find ways to score down low. I mean, they've already played again, like I said, different teams obviously, but they have experience and everything, and then they're playing different guys, different amount of minutes. But at the end of the day, that's all this game's really going to – I mean, if they make the shots and if Jesse stays out of foul trouble, if Jesse gets in foul trouble, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and if obviously if they get hot from three, I mean, where are these guys shooting from three right now? They're shooting 33%. Okay, so that's about the average of what people shoot against us. So all it's going to come down to how many they're going to take. Last time I mentioned they took 30, they hit four of them. They absolutely struggled. They were terrible, and they were at home.
They were 6-20 against Miami last night.
So, I mean, you're looking at 20, just over 20%. I mean, yeah, it's just over 20%, Joe. 5 of 20 would be 25%. So it's more than 25%. So my math was wrong, but I corrected myself, so it doesn't count, right?
Sure.
Okay. So yeah, it's just over 25%, which is terrible. I mean, it's awful.
Right.
I don't think they can win even shooting that, but they shot 13% against us last time. So
yeah, but it shot out of 63 shots, they shot 33s.
Yeah, which is everybody's game plan though. Unfortunately for them,
it's not the game plan. It's just kind of what happens, right? But against Miami, Florida last night, they shot 20.
Game plan.
20 out of the 54 shots, they shot 23 pointers. So again, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if it happens, it happens. But again, if you don't shoot well from three, and about 50% of your shots that you take are from three, then you're probably not going to beat us.
Yeah, I would.
So I think they're going to make a change there. Would be my best guess.
Yeah, and Syracuse has got, maybe we see a little bit more 1-3-1 stuff or whatever coach wants to say, 1-1-3 or whatever.
Force him to shoot three. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's been a good change up for coach, and maybe he can modify it a little bit more. And I mean, I don't know, or these, you know, the guys can just get a little bit more used to it, but take away the foul line, which is where we get killed, and the elbow over there, that's where we get killed all the time. And
that's where they're going to kill us if they do.
Yeah. So anyways, all right. On to predictions then, shall we? Yes, we shall. All right. So where was I? Where is this thing? All right. Here it is right here. I've got it sloppily sketched down right here, Joe. I won.
I know.
Okay. All right.
Not by much.
Not by much. It was by 7. Which is not much in a basketball game. Really, it's not bad. So, anyways, I improved to 2-3. You dropped to 3-2. And here we are. You're not running away with this thing. I ain't going to let it happen.
All right. Okay. We'll see.
All right. So, I think you went first last time. I'll go first this time. I think that Syracuse rides the momentum tide, rides the confidence tide against Florida State. I'm hoping that the crowd is not just more numbers, but better. Like, let's be honest, guys.
We talked about it, bro.
Huh?
I'm telling you, that's why. We've already talked about it. We know why.
I know why. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking the crowd last night wasn't bad, but it was also not. It wasn't bad. I've seen less people in that dome make more noise. Let's put it that way.
It wasn't full.
I've seen less people in that dome make more noise. That's all I'm saying. So hopefully the crowd can make a difference, regardless of how many people that are there. I know that small crowds in that dome can make a difference, and hopefully that's what we see. And I think they will. It's a Saturday afternoon. It's been cold as balls out in Syracuse. Hopefully get out of the house, maybe shake some icicles off and walk into the dome. That'd be great.
Without looking, did you look at the attendance? the game without looking?
Did you guess? I never look at the attendance. Guess? Oh, boy, you're going to really put me on the spot. So I would go low.
Max capacity is like 35.
I understand
4,
that.
4, 6, right?
Right. So I'm going to say 8,500.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's really low. 15,000. Okay.
All right. Well, they were spread out, so it's really hard to tell. Plus, you never see the others.
Really not. But that's not good for a conference game.
I didn't say it was good. All I'm saying, Joe, is while you filibuster my prediction, is that I've seen smaller crowds make more noise. In other words, I feel like that should have been way louder. It was not. It was old folks' home in there last night, and it was extremely quiet. You could hear a pin drop sometimes.
I'm not accusing you.
Okay, we're talking about two different things.
Yeah, I'm making my own point.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have said that, because I just yelled at you. Now you made me feel bad.
That's my point, yeah.
Is that what you're trying to do? Heather must hate you.
I'm just saying, at the end of the day, this... Yeah.
I'm sorry
No bueno.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you never see the blue curtain. You never see beyond the scores table. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell is over there.
Right.
So it's hard to see. I'm only seeing half of the court.
Mm. Yep.
By the way, before I give you my prediction, this 1911 Beacon Skiff cranberry hard cider, guys, it's got a sweetness scale of 2.5, Joe. I know Joe.
No, that's right in the middle. That's perfect.
Joe turned me on to the Beacon Skiff ciders. Not a cider guy, but I am a Beacon Skiff cider guy. Now, the tropical one's too sweet for me, but this here...
Way too sweet.
This one here, though, Joe, is amazing. And if I do say so myself, it is worth $12 for four 16-ounce cans all day. Because it's that freaking good.
Right there with you, bro.
Okay, all right. I'm glad we agree on something. Okay? No fighting. I'm sorry. All right.
You got a good plug in there. Is it a side cash there? What's going on?
I might shoot them an email and be like, hey, you need a plug? I'm sure you don't, but I'll do it anyway.
Definitely not.
I'm barely keeping my head above water here with the Green Room app. You know, I got this thing right at the top of my head. I don't even read anything for that thing. And I would love to promote this stuff because it's local. It's in Lafayette, I believe. If I'm not mistaken. Where the hell is this? Hold on. I'm sorry, guys.
Lafayette, Nedro, something like that. I don't know.
Where the hell is it? Ah, oh, crap. I don't know. I'll look it up when Joe's doing his. Okay. All right. Look, I'm going to cut to the chase. Syracuse rides momentum tide. They're going to go. It's Lafayette. Okay. They're going to win this game. They're going to go two in a row here. You know, Clemson's another story. I don't know. We'll see how that goes and maybe do a little bit more research. But I'm going to say, I'm going to kind of go with the theme of last game being low scoring. But I think since it's home and maybe, who knows, Florida State maybe gets a little bit better, figures something out. I'm going to say Syracuse wins 72-66. Cuse. Ow. Quad 2 game.
Wow. Look at you.
What you got?
Well, I'm right there with you. I think that our offense is going to be better being a home game. But I think I'm going to go a little bit lower than you.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go Syracuse wins, but I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a nail biter. Syracuse wins 70-68.
70-68, Cuse. Okay, this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be close. Could be close. Okay, maybe Cole turns it on. Because it's got to happen at some point. And we know what they did to Buddy last time. It's hard to overcome that when they get a game plan and they can replicate that, which is a possibility that they can. They're pretty athletic, and they're going to give him plenty of attention. I've seen three guys on Buddy at some points last night. I mean, that's insanity. So they've got to have the game plan for that. Assume Buddy's going to get taken down. What's plan B? Or, you know, not taken down, but it's going to be held in check. What's plan B? And just hope that they can... have some decent picks like they did last night. They did a great job. Jesse did a great job.
And we talked about that from even from the Virginia game. From the Virginia game till now, we've gotten way better. So learning how to play offense while Buddy's being double teamed, we've got past that point since we played Florida State.
Yeah, Joe stepped up. I mean, we've seen Jimmy step up. We've seen Cole step up.
Multiple people step up, right? Absolutely. So, but again, it's going to be the stuff that we talked about, right? It's going to be Jesse Edwards is going to be in foul trouble, right? Or is it going to be, you know, our defense? Because we did say that, you know, obviously our defense, we know that a lot of people score against us, right? So if we got to step up, we got to step up. And it all just depends on how Florida State's shooting. Florida State shoots even decent from three-point line. They beat us last time. So that was an anomaly. I wouldn't expect the same. It's going to be a tougher game, and you better believe they're going to be coming out looking for revenge. So definitely going to be a tough game, and I think that we know what's coming, and we're going to be prepared for it. So I like what I saw this past game, and hopefully we can build on that. That's all I got.
Okay. All right, cool. By the way, we didn't make the show shorter doing that. It's about the same freaking length. But anyway, that is going to do it for us tonight. We will see you as planned, hopefully, on Sunday to discuss the hopefully win over Florida State. Pack the dome. Pack the dome. Otto's Army was not showing up either. I didn't see a whole lot of Otto's Army there. For Joe, I'm strong. We're out. Show up.
Peace.